performance poet who hosts the HCAM open mic once a month at the cable station in Hopkinton. And she's a wonderful writer and performer. Cheryl Peralt.
Get over there. Well, you prefer?
Yeah, this is the star spot. Dude, so get a you want the stool? Excuse me.
Yes, do. Yes,
oh,
I do.
Could I have a stool too?
You sure can.
You should stand.
I want to sit. It's my first time.
Tell them what we're doing.
So what we're doing, Steve suggested. Steve told me.
No.
Thank you, Jake. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Steve. Very quickly, Steve suggested that we try a storytelling to guitar adventure, as opposed to my coming up here and reading something to guitar, as I always do.
Well, improvising.
Improvising.
I don't know what she's going to say. Cheryl doesn't know what she's going to say either.
I have a theme.
A theme.
We have to be semi-structured tonight. Steve wanted me to ask a theme from you.
Okay.
Maybe next time, but we're going to see how it goes. They like that, Steve. All right. So, but tonight we're being semi-structured, and I'm going to go. Well, please play along.
Happy or sad?
Mm-hmm. This, it's... It's not happy, it's not sad. It's, what is it, a bit of life drama.
Okay, so we're going to just improvise the story and the musical support and see what happens.
So I have two little stories, and they take place in New York, both of them, although they're a couple of decades apart. The first story that I'm thinking back about takes place when, it was back when my youngest daughter was four or five, and we were out in New York City with some friends around Christmas time. We wanted to see Rockefeller Center. We wanted to see the big tree all lit up. We wanted to see Macy's and the stores, FAO Schwartz. My children, my friends' children. There were so many of us, actually, that we brought walkie-talkies to keep in touch with each other. Six children, six adults, all walking around the streets in New York City at night. Then we decided to go over to Rockefeller Center where the ice skating rink was. And it was my youngest daughter's dream to walk over there and see the ice skaters. Maybe someday she'd even be there on the ice skating. So we started to walk over. My friends up ahead, they knew the way. We were following them, talking on walkie-talkies. And I was with my youngest daughter, about to go find her dream of the ice skaters. And as we're walking over to Rockefeller Center, suddenly, there was a huge crowd that gathered with us. They were all walking with us, and we're walking faster as a crowd over to Rockefeller Center to see, I thought, the ice skaters. But what was happening was actually the unexpected. There was a celebrity wedding over at the Catholic Church right across. There was a sudden, massive crowding. You know, the kind that is like chaos, that's like natural disaster. It's really dramatic. And the people are suddenly no longer friendly tourists. The people are all meshing in together. And they're like a braid of rope all suddenly meshing together, and it's feeling unfriendly and forced suddenly and dramatic and frightening. And everyone forms into almost a thick line of people, and there's nowhere to go, and I have my little daughter by the hand, and the people are getting closer and closer together. It was all of a sudden, I didn't know where it all came from. I lost track of my friends. I couldn't even hear them on the walkie-talkies. So I decided to protect my daughter because the crowd was getting in so close to each other. I took my little daughter and I put her up on my shoulders because I thought someone might trample her in all the frenzy of looking for a celebrity. And I did that. And the people were all getting in closer and closer, and there was nowhere to go. We were all moving as one wall of frenzy there. It didn't feel safe to me. It felt scary, and I didn't know where I was going. And we all just moved together, and then people were starting to yell at each other, and it was becoming fierce, and I decided to put my elbows out to protect my daughter, and people were bumping into my elbows, but not into my daughter. And my priority was keeping her safe, and a man in the back yelled at me for having my elbows out, and a woman in the back yelled at him for yelling at me. And the forces of good and evil seemed like they were all about me. Someone good, someone evil, even in this congested crowd. And just as soon as I thought, keep going, it suddenly released and broke up. And I had experienced one of those crazy crowd frenzies that happens in New York City or lots of other busy places in life. And I breathed a big sigh of relief. We had survived. It was a little bit longer. 4 years later. And we were back in New York City, but this time on the television. It was September. It was September 11th, and everyone was watching television then. And we saw what happened that day, didn't we? On the Twin Towers, the airplanes, the people, the tears, the rain. The raining from the sky of the buildings, of the smoke, of the people. It affected everybody watching on their televisions, wherever they were, or right there underneath. It affected all of us, and I remember a lot of feelings, as do all of you, that same area in New York City. And I remember waking up the next morning and thinking, I want my old life back. It was that frightening back then. A few days later, I was driving on a main route Route 126 into Concord. And we all still had fright on our shoulders then of that crazy time of the facing of good and evil of people, the people who cared and helped each other, who were the heroes on the TV that we saw, who were there in New York City helping. We knew what the evil was that had happened. We were faced with all of that, and our job was to just keep going with that, like I was going in my car, even though I felt frozen. I was driving along this road, a windy road, back road of 126. And what I noticed as I hit the back roads was that at that time of night, everybody, it seemed like everybody, was standing at the end of their driveway for a candlelight vigil along the drive. So I'm driving by myself. I'm frightened of going somewhere after all of this scary stuff. And there's the reassurance of these people, all these people on our path who are caring about each other, wanting to send a message, wanting to give some hope. And with every mile I went, I felt a little braver and reassured and hopeful. And I realized it was kind of like that same feeling, trying to survive, trying to move on, being on mother's shoulders and doing the best that you can. And then suddenly, after you move enough forward, there is a time of release. And that is what is important about humanity when we face the good and evil. You keep moving on, you encourage each other, you move toward release. Okay, I'm done. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds great.